The grace and peace of the risen Christ be with you. Well, good morning and welcome to Laguna Presbyterian Church as we gather together as a community of faith to worship the living God, to hear from His Word, and to be strengthened and to grow in our faith together. We also gather for fellowship, so why don't you stand up and welcome the person sitting next to you today. Well, let me direct your attention to some of the announcements in our connections page. You'll see at 10 o'clock we have an Inquirer's Luncheon, and if you are interested in the Presbyterian Church, what it would mean to be a member of Laguna Presbyterian Church, you can show up and be a part of that Inquirer's Luncheon. If you have any questions, you can talk to Kathy Sizer, and walk-ins are welcome. Also at 10 o'clock up in Hills Hall, we have an Amextra meeting, and if you go to that, you'll be learning about a transformational mission trip to Mexico City that will happen in late July. 4:30, I see that our choir will be joining in on a choral festival, is that right, up at Westminster. And that will be at Reformation Lutheran Church and starts at 4:30. You can read about it here. If you have any questions, you can talk to Linda. That'd be great. Thanks, Linda. You can see on May 1st, there's a Red Cross blood drive. You can talk to Sandy about any questions about that. If you turn the page, a few things. Here we have a Parents Roundtable coming up on May 5th, and that roundtable will be concentrating on college planning, preparing, choosing, and saving. And we have people who know a lot about that who will be sharing. Tori Thomas will talk about saving up for college. Laura Yale, how to do the application process. And Lynn Gregory, who now heads up the High School Scholarship Foundation, will be there. Good time. On May 2nd, National Day of Prayer Breakfast, will be at South Mission Hospital Auditorium. And our own sanctuary will be open on the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, and will be open from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. You can come right in here and pray. Let's give this time to the Lord. Almighty God, You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and Your steadfast love endures forever. You gather Your people for worship, and You open our eyes to Your presence. Enable us this morning to enter Your courts with thanksgiving for the multitude of mercies that You have lavished upon us. Hear our praises and be pleased with our worship, for You are worthy of our honor and adoration. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Words of the psalmist call us to worship. I cry aloud to God, that He may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints.
Meditate on all Your work and muse on Your mighty deeds.
Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God?
You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the people.
With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. As is written by the prophet Isaiah, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope.
Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our hope indeed is in God. Please stand and turn to page 43 and let's sing of God's great faithfulness.
Since then, we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we come to the Lord and confess to him our need for him. Let us pray. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And so we bring to him the silent confessions of our hearts. For we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen. Hear God's good news. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from chapter 21, verses 1 through 19, as we continue our study of the Gospel of John. Hear now the Word of God. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, help us to understand your word this morning, and transform us by your Holy Spirit to respond with an obedience of faith, and leave here a people who have been empowered by your forgiveness and restoration to make a difference in this world for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I left for Molokai for a high school mission trip, my youngest son, Joe, insisted on downloading the movie Inception with Leo DiCaprio on my iPad for me to watch on the plane ride over to Honolulu. Now, he gave me a worthy piece of advice the night before as I was packing my bags. "Dad, you've got to watch the movie twice. You're going to pick up a bunch of things that you'll see the second time around that you weren't able to see the first." And that boy was right. The first time that you watch that movie, you are amazed by all the special effects and the concept of entering someone else's dream state. The second time around, you can actually concentrate on the story. And so I had my aisle seat, and after a little chit-chat with my neighbor, I got out my iPad to watch the movie. Now, this guy sitting next to me, he glanced over to see what movie I was going to watch. You know how they do it. It's kind of like, he said, "Inception. You ever seen it?" I said, "No, not yet." He said, "It's been out 3 years, pal. Where have you been? Let me tell you, you are in for a treat." And then he went on to say, "I'm a screenwriter, and I would love to talk to you about the movie when it's over." Now, let me tell you, I was hooked in the first 10 minutes. Just when you think you're watching a normal opening action scene, it turns out that Leo and his associates were actually in someone else's dream, and they're trying to steal some very valuable business information. Now, once the movie is over, the viewer is left with the question of whether or not a dream has continued or if the person has awakened to the present. I spent an hour talking with my fellow passenger about the question of reality. What makes for reality? And he looked over at me with a real stern look and he said, "How do we know if this is reality? Maybe we're all dreaming." Now, as I watched the movie for the second time on the way back to LAX, my son was right as I was able to follow the story much closer. Now, I hope you can follow me here. After that first action scene, Leo was approached by the CEO of a second-tier energy company. This CEO was concerned that after the owner of the most powerful energy company in the world passes away in just a few days, that the owner's son, the rightful heir, will further dominate the energy market of the world. That he will create a monopoly which will lead to energy dominance, and this CEO is convinced that it will lead to a world war. The CEO's hope is that Leo and his dream invading associates could change the mind of the son by implanting in him the desire to break up the company. This is called inception. In other words, would it be possible to invade his dream state, not to steal an idea like they've done so many times before, but to implant an idea? I like what Leo's associate says. It's impossible. The human brain can always trace the genesis, the beginning of an idea. True inspiration is impossible to fake. Little does Leo's close friend and associate know that Leo had done it once before. Leo looks at them and he says, "For inception to take place, it would be necessary to go into the dream, into another dream, into their third dream." Wow. Sounds like an Edgar Allan Poe poem, doesn't it? He says, once you're deep into that subconscious, it would be possible to convince the subject of almost anything. Now you're wondering, why is he bringing this up? I could rent this movie on Netflix. The reason I bring this up is because the son, the heir, is convinced, and rightly so, that his father on his deathbed said the devastating word that no child would ever want to hear from a parent. The father had looked at him and just said this one word: disappointed. The son, deep within his soul, was convinced that his father was disappointed, that he had not lived up to his potential by becoming a cutthroat businessman just like himself. Of course, the worry of this second-tier CEO and of the world was that the heartbroken son would spend the rest of his life attempting not only to be like the father, but to be even harsher and more power-driven than his father. And so the ultimate question of the movie is this: would it be possible to change or to transform someone's mind when already the thought of disappointment had been so rooted and so ingrained, dictating someone's fate? Now, that's a good question. And maybe that's a question that we should honestly ask ourselves. Our Bible passage picks up some time after the death and resurrection of Christ. It appears that some of the apostles have returned to their previous workplace and occupation of what? Fishing. Now, one of them, of course, being Peter. We can only speculate what his total mindset was at this point, but one thing is for sure: he felt as though he had been a disappointment. You see, at the Last Supper, After Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, after he mentioned that someone was going to betray him, while he was teaching on love and what it truly means to be a disciple, Peter asked Jesus a question, a good question. Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going you cannot follow, but you will follow afterwards. And true to Peter's personality, he rose up and appears to take exception to this. Peter says, Lord, I will follow you. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And we know how the story goes. When the going got tough, Peter buckled under the pressure. After Jesus was betrayed, arrested, and facing trial, the authorities were looking for anyone that had anything to do with following Jesus, to arrest them, to throw them into prison, and maybe potentially to face the same fate as Jesus. And through that night, three times, Peter was asked if he knew and if he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Three times Peter denied that he was with Jesus, and then the rooster crowed. I think we can agree that from then on, Peter was living under a dark cloud. That memory would haunt him. The promise of faithfulness and trust that he had made face to face with Jesus, now only to become a disappointment in his own eyes, and maybe he thought he was a disappointment in God's eyes. And so we see Peter, a man filled with shame and despair, wondering if the Lord would or could ever forgive him and restore him. Now, there's not a person here this morning, myself included, that can't relate to that. A promise that was made and yet broken. A breach of faith or trust. A sin that was committed. A bad memory that we just can't shake no matter how hard we try. A feeling of disappointment that may be so rooted and ingrained in us, thinking that it dictates our fate. We wonder if we could or would ever be set free. So here they are. Following the death and resurrection of Jesus, Peter and his apostles are now fishing, obviously waiting for something or for someone. In fact, they've been fishing all night, haven't they? How much have they caught? Absolutely nothing. Now, come morning, there's this man who shows up on the beach and he calls out, hey, you have no fish, have you? Now, think about it. It's like you've been manning a store all day and 5 o'clock is approaching. Not one person has stepped through the door to even look at anything. They haven't bought a single thing. And this person peers in through the door and looks at you and says, hey, you haven't sold anything yet today, have you? Now, you know what you would be thinking. I know this is a church, but in your mind, you know exactly what you would be thinking. To add to it, he tells you that you've been going about it all wrong. I love what Jesus says here. Put the net on the other side of the boat. Now, it's a matter of yielding. It's a matter of faith and trust. And just at that moment of obedience, something unexpected happens. There's a miraculous catch of fish. And the Apostle John turns to Peter and he says, it's the Lord. And that's enough for Peter. He knows exactly who it is and he knows exactly what this miracle means. Do you see it? It means that Jesus is still for them. Jesus is still with them. And once again, true to his personality and intensity, Peter jumps into that water to once again be face to face with Jesus. I suppose that if it was a movie, it would zero in right there on both of their faces. And Jesus asked Peter the most important question that can be asked of a human being. Peter, do you love me more than these? More than your work? More than your friends? More than the riches that these fish could bring you? Do you? Peter answers Jesus with the most important answer that can be given. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And do you see what's happened here? We see that Jesus has not given up on Peter. We see that always, no matter what has happened in our own lives, we can always approach Jesus. Jesus could have held Peter in contempt, but that's not the way a loving God works with his children. This story shows us that forgiveness is possible no matter the sin, no matter our past, no matter our background. And our loving God knows exactly the words that are needed for you personally. Think about Peter. There were three denials, and he knew exactly what Peter needed. Peter needed three affirmations, and Jesus gave them to him. Jesus has the ability to restore our memory, to bring meaning to that memory, to rewrite the terrible pictures and recordings of the past that have a way of swirling around in our minds. Peter needed to be unburdened of those destructive memories through the gracious forgiveness of God. And he restores Peter to a place of trust deep within his soul. How is this possible, you might ask? It's by the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's through his word that he forgives us and restores us. And he knows that we need to be reminded over and over and over again that God is not disappointed at us. He has not given up on us. He is a God that loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting and abundant life in him. Folks, that's the truth. It's not a dream. It's not a manipulation of a dream. This is reality. Jesus has the almighty power to bring this message of grace deep, not just an inception into the subconscious, but deep into our very souls, our very being. Now, mind you, the state of forgiveness and restoration is not an end in itself. It's to set us free, to serve him, to be used by him, to fulfill the calling, the mission that he's given to us. For we are a people whose very souls have experienced the inception of God's hope and love. So maybe like Peter, or maybe like that son in the movie, you've come here this morning with a troubling memory you just can't shake. A breach of trust, a broken promise, a sense of disappointment that seems to dictate your life or your fate. Or maybe you're feeling that you're living under a dark cloud. I want to encourage you to take it to Christ. For Peter has shown us that we can approach Jesus and be assured that he loves us. And he forgives us and restores us. He is a God who is with us and for us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you as your children, and we confess to you that we are broken, that at times we have felt like a disappointment. And Lord, we confess that we at times feel as though we are under a dark cloud, but we know by your word and your truth that we have a God in Jesus Christ who is for us and not against us, who extends his love and grace and forgiveness. We can approach him at any time. And so, Lord, we approach you now, and we lay at your feet all of those issues and know that you put your arms around us and you love us, forgive us, and restore us. Thank you so much. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we give of our tithes and offerings.
Living Lord, we thank you that you are the God of second chances. Each one of us are here this morning because over and over again, you have seen us, listened to us, heard our cries, forgiven our sins, filled us with your Holy Spirit, caused us to remember all that you have said to us. Our hearts are filled with gratitude for your grace. So we bring to you our offerings this morning. For we believe, Lord, that you have called us, along with your whole church, to be the agents of your reconciling love in our world, ambassadors of your grace. We pray that our giving this morning may multiply your blessings in our community, in and through this congregation, in our city, to the ends of the earth. We know, Lord, that our whole world needs to know how great your love is and all that you have done in your mighty acts of delivering your people from slavery into the freedom of the promised land, into rebirth, into healing and reconciliation. And so as we thank you this morning for your gifts for us, we are mindful that we live in a world that is deeply troubled still, burdened by shame and guilt, haunted by that feeling of being, of having disappointed the one who created us, who made us in his own image, and who called us to be his faithful people. The church carries burdens this day, and we confess before you that we have not fulfilled the mission that you've given to us, and that we need to be awakened to the power of your grace at work in and through us. Help us to be your ambassadors, those who are so filled with your love, with your peace, with your joy, that we cannot help but serve you and share it with others. Bless us as we give ourselves away. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our God.
So we sing one more time, how great,
how great
is our God.
Well, we know, church, that the story didn't end there, did it? Peter, renewed with joy and with that sense of hope, went from that place and he made a difference in the world. He wrote letters, planted churches, and made a difference because of the new sense of joy and hope he had and has in Jesus Christ. May we be a people who are filled with the hope of God, take it out there in the world, and show others the joyful relationship we have with Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you.